Welcome to The Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining. So today we're going to talk about growing, how to get buyers to you, specifically getting them to your items, not necessarily to eBay. Because obviously, you know, it's great that eBay is doing really, really well. But the fact of the matter is you really only care about your store. So ultimately, if eBay is growing, theoretically, we all should grow. But that's not necessarily the case. And if it is the case, it's not fast enough. So this subject is coming to you because I was recently given a growth advisor by eBay. So a growth advisor program is when eBay notices that you're growing your store really rapidly, that they assign somebody to you, they reach out to you to see whether or not you want somebody assigned to you to kind of help you. And it's a free service, so at least let me kind of put that with an asterisk. It's a free service, but ultimately their goal is to get you to use more promoted listings and other services that they use to kind of increase the revenue that they have from you. But of course, just even if you do only a fraction of the programs they have that cost no money, that this person is, you know, eBay benefits because you sell more. And when you sell more, they get more fees and so on. So, I mean, really, I should say that they do push you towards doing things that cost money, ultimately they'd be happy with just you growing your sales because that grows their revenue. But it's a free program, and and I would say if you're offered it, take advantage of it. It's usually a week or biweekly meeting that you have for about 30 minutes with your growth advisor, and he or she will go through your store and give you some suggestions and pull reports that you normally can't get, or if you can get them, you don't know you can get them, and then he or she will show you how to get them. And I probably will actually give you a list of these reports and where to get them. But mostly they're on the performance tab. So frankly, if you just tool around the performance tab, then you're going to get a lot of these reports anyway. But this person will also pull reports that you can't get, which is kind of nice. Also, what they do is that they will give you suggestions on things that don't cost money that actually could save you money. And I'm going to give you some of those today because I think that it's kind of interesting what he said about certain things that I think will save you money in the long term. And then, of course, I've asked some very specific questions of him, which I will convey the answers here so that you can start doing them right away. But first, let's talk about something that eBay just rolled out this week. So one of the things that I've always talked about in the collectibles market, because, of course, eBay is obviously trying to go heavy into the collectibles market, you know, as evidenced by the amount of additional listings you get free of charge. Well, not free of charge, but included in the premium store. Matter of fact, all the stores, but the premium store is the biggest dramatic increase. And a new program. So, you know, we've talked about when you sell sports cards, if it's under $20, you get a special rate for postage. So in other words, you know, when you have a first class mailer that goes out, it's usually about $3.50, anywhere between $3 and $4, let's call it that, anywhere in the U.S. And what's cool is that in the new program, they've expanded to sported cards, obviously, a reduced rate. That's anywhere, it ends up being, you know, about 75 cents to send. And it comes with tracking as first class would. And you have certain elements. You have to keep the envelope a certain size in a certain weight. So it's going to be 3 ounces or less. It's got to be $20 or less, the card. So this was a boom for the sports card market. And I think that's great. And that's why we talked about that. Over several weeks, we've talked about it. So the information I'm going to give you now is really, really important, is that they've expanded that program. They've expanded it to postcards, great, stamps, coins, and paper money. And this, now the key is you got to keep it within, it's lower end items. It's not the high end items. If you sell something for $500, you know, you're still going to have to send it out. And by the way, you should send it out at least first class, if not priority, so you get the insurance. So now the nice thing is with now is though is with the new program for expanded to postcards, for instance, which I've talked about several times, is that you get insurance with that. So you can only get tracking, but you get insurance. So on a regular first class package, you don't get insurance. You basically, if it's lost in the mail, it's lost in the mail. You've got to eat it. And you know, the point is you have to eat it because eBay will not let the customer eat it. With the new program though, if it gets lost, it's insured up to $20. And if it's combined items, so if you have several items together, it's $50. So that's great. So now your effective shipping charge goes from about $3 to $4 down to about, well, 91 cents is what I've been sending it out at. So that's great. Now, do I still charge for shipping $3.95? Yes, I do. One is because it's expected. You know, people don't balk at the $3.95. Now, if you're, of course, a buyer and a seller, you might know about the cheaper shipping. But the point is that it's still fairly common to charge for shipping. Now, remember, the reason why I do that is it costs me, one, to buy the envelope. It costs me to buy the label, not from eBay. I'm talking about the physical piece of paper label. Number three, it costs me for the item. Now, before, remember, the items are cheaper. So in what I've in my market, so they're cheaper. So I built that in. So if you start adding in all the costs, I'm still making a lot. Before, I was losing a little bit of money per when I shipped. And let me explain that a little bit. I wasn't really losing money, but if it cost me $3 or $4 plus it cost me the 23 cents for the package itself plus 4 cents for the label. I mean, I really made like 30 to 40 cents per sale. And of course, my average buy price is about 50 cents. So I lose, quote unquote, 10 cents or so per sale. Now, mind you, of course, I sell it for more than I buy it for. So I'm making money there. So anyway, overall, you make money. But now with shipping reduced to 91 cents, it's anywhere 51 cents to 91 cents, by the way. But I'm saying 91 cents at the high end. I'm not losing money at all. Matter of fact, I'm making money off of shipping, which is great. This is a great position to be in compared to clothing, for instance, which you lose every single time. Anyway, so they've expanded it to paper money, coins, postcards, and of course, stamps. Now, beautiful thing about stamps are really, frankly, they're also a really good market to go in. We haven't gone into them at all, really, because I could tell you right now that I don't know very much about them, but it's also very good. It meets all the criteria that we've talked about in these shows. So the point is to all this is that eBay is pushing you to do exactly what we talk about here. Find items that are, they give you benefits for selling. By the way, they're still doing the same thing with sneakers too. If you're a big shoe seller, you know, I mean, this is a really good point because they also have a program for reduce costs of selling shoes online, which is great. So eBay is putting a lot of money in these areas because those areas are growing. So don't fight them. Take advantage of the programs that they have because then the costs, which is kind of one of the biggest expenses you're going to have as a reseller, go down. And that's the key. You want your costs to be low. They're not going to be low if you start selling large hard goods and things like that in clothing because eBay, while they have a very, very good market in that area, they don't see probably as growing as fast in those areas. Now, I'm not saying that it's not an area that's still something you should look into. If you're really good at electronics, for instance, go for it. I mean, at the end of the day, electronics have a very high sell-through rate, so you can have a lot less inventory, and they sell for a lot more money. But, of course, the downside, of course, we've talked about a million times is testing. You know, doing the listings, you can't bulk buy stuff as much or as easily as you can other areas. So it's harder to scale your business. Okay. So Growth Advisor. So let's talk about that a little bit. So one of the things I asked him is because I've been struggling on the titles. So I just hired somebody to help me with listing because I want to be able to get all my stuff listed. And as I was teaching her how to list, she was saying, well, how do I create a title? So I have in the past had a template and I still do, right, by the way, but my template really says as a vintage, the year that the item was made, Then I would say the item name, like a postcard. So I would say, let's say vintage 1910 postcard dash. And then basically I'd string together a sentence that would kind of describe the card. And I think that's kind of common, right? That's how I do it. So in other words, minimally, if somebody is searching for vintage postcards, my item is going to pop up. Now, what my growth advisor said, and this was quite surprising because I've always learned to kind of make it plain English because people search in plain English. Well, what he is saying is that people don't necessarily search in plain English. So what you want to do is you want to get as many keywords after the dash, or in my case, in my template, after the dash. So he said basically drop.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Throwaway words like designer, cute, beautiful. Now, mind you, you have 80 characters, so I do throw those words in, but only if I have room for them, right? So if I have everything I've done after I've said vintage, the year, and the postcard dash, I put the essence of what that card is. And then if I have room after that, I will put, you know, I will put in the words beautiful or nice or cute or whatever, right? I know that's not what a lot of YouTubers say. A lot of YouTubers say, write it in plain English. But the reality is that what he's saying, and I trust that he knows because he's been doing this for a while, that people, you want to make sure your keywords are in there, all of them. So, and then after that, there are throwaway words you can throw in, but you want to use as many of those 80 characters as you have. And that will not only help you in the search for an eBay, but it also help you in the search for Google when they actually post your items on Google, because eBay does pay to do that as part of the fees. Also, for instance, is if you use promoted listings, which we'll talk about next, but it will place it higher up in Google, which means that people, when they search on Google for your item, you'll be there. Okay, on promoted listings, kind of interesting thing he said, is that the suggested promoted listing fees that they put, so you know you could, when you're doing your listing, you could put a percentage on how much that you're going to spend on promoted listings for that item. He told me anything under 1.5%, don't even bother. But he also said, which was interesting, is that you don't necessarily want to use the market rate listing as well. So as you know, that when you put in a promoted listing there, it'll say, you know, for this item, the average seller uses 5.5%. He said, don't pay attention to that at all, which is interesting because if you go on eBay help pages, you know, they say that that's a service, but they're really, really just trying to get you to spend more money. And so what my growth advisor said is that you could put, if 1.5% is what you're comfortable with, do it. But he said anything under 1.5%, you're going to come up so infrequently that that he says you might as well just save the money, which is really kind of a really cool thing to say if you think about it. Because, you know, obviously, if I decided that I couldn't, that I've been putting 1%, which I did for a while, he said that, but that's a wasted money because you're not going to get any sales out of it appreciably. And, you know, somebody might see your listing as, you know, and then look at your same listing as an organic search below it. So he goes, that's going to happen more, you know, too often at 1.5%. He said, or 1%, excuse me, that he said, you either go up or don't bother. So I moved it because I was thinking of moving anyway, because my traffic was going lower. I moved it to 4%. Now 4% is because I have a very high margin right now. So if you don't want, to give up that kind of money and you don't have that much margin in your product, then you shouldn't obviously do it at all. Don't be forced into to promoted listings if you don't have the margin. Now, that's true for what we do, right? So if you're still selling clothes, it's a very competitive market and you have to do it, because if you don't do promoted listings in your clothing sales, is that what's, you're never be able to sell that clothing, because everybody has promoted listings in clothing and they usually do it at a fairly high percentage. So I settled in on 4% for everything. So now the average clothes sale that I have, the average seller usually does about 5.5%, which is too much to give up, I think. So anyway, I moved to 4%. I'm comfortable with that. And most of my sales come through promoted listings still. So what he says is that if you're spending 4%, for instance, in my case, that it's more likely that you'll come up as a sponsored listing or the promoted listing. And then your organic listing will probably end up going, being lower. So I'm not sure if I'm really explaining that very well. So what at 1%, he's saying basically, if somebody's searching for your 1% listing, it's most likely that you're not going to see as many of those in the clothing. So what'll happen is that the person spending 5% will be up there as a sponsored listing, and yours might be as an organic listing lower, right beyond underneath that. But if you're spending 1%, most likely you will, your organic listing and your promoted listing will be right next to each other. So, and if it's 4% or 5% that somebody else is spending, yours is not going to show up at all. That's really kind of what I'm trying to say. So in other words, go big or go home. And so I've settled on 4%. That seems to be fairly reasonable. It's below what they suggest, but the suggest is just a suggest. It's not something that you should feel compelled to do. And if 2% or 3% is much more comfortable for you, you will show up plenty of times. And so, go with that percentage. You know what your margin is. I don't know what your margin is. So, but just make sure your margin can handle it. You don't want to lose money on every sale because you've promoted it too much. And remember, you only get charged that if they click on your promoted listing and buy it. If they see your promoted listing and your organic listing in the same page and they choose your organic listing, you get the same sale, but you don't get charged the fee. So just know that you don't pay the fee if they buy it in another way. So another area that we talked about is doing a sale. He said that if you constantly run a sale, and you will get that little area, where it shows the price and then it'll be crossed out and then it'll show you the new price, and that naturally draws in more people to buy your items. So he's saying run a sale at all times, and I agree with that. So I run a sale every month for 5% off. Now, it's the important thing is if you want to do 30% off, you got to make sure you price your items high enough that when you give the 30% off, it's still your full retail price. I don't do that. I start fairly low, and then I only do a 5% sale because I'm really only looking for to draw the eye to my item. When that does is when they click on your item and they show that they're interested in it, they either buy it. If they don't buy it though, what'll end up happening is you get something that shows the person's interest, and then you could then send them an offer. And then what I do is then I send them an offer, an additional 5% off. So 5% off of the already discounted price, but still I have a huge margin. So, they may or may not take that. If they take it, great. And if they don't, they may give me another offer. And then, remember, I only spend 50 cents a piece on my items or less. So I take most offers. So it's even if it's $5, I'm only 50 cents into it. Plus I'm getting the $3.95 for the shipping fee, which is only costing me 91 cents. So I'm making money. You don't have to do it that way. I mean, I do it that way. Now I know other YouTubers, for instance, they price their items 30, maybe 50 or 60% higher than normally would. So I've heard one person say that they charge three times the amount, and then they could offer massive discounts. And that's actually something I haven't tried, so I can't really comment on that. I just start low because, that's what works for me. But the reality is that you could theoretically do three and four times the amount of an item. And then, of course, then heavily discount that. The downside of doing that for me, in my perspective, is that the person may be drawn, you know, if other people are selling what you're selling, then they may just look at yours and say, there's no way I'm going to buy from this person. And then they shut you down, even if you offer a massive discount. But, you know, again, you know, I haven't really done a very large scale, massive increases in my prices, but you certainly can try that either way. So the point is that you got to do something which you're comfortable with. Ultimately, I start low and I just offer incremental smaller discounts. And I think that I don't get a lot of back and forth on collectibles anyway, like I do with clothing, for instance. For clothing, I price pretty high. And of course, then I offer 10% discounts quite often, and then the person will likely buy. But I think that's a completely different market and very difficult for me to kind of say. I mean, it depends on what your items are, obviously. And it also depends on how much you want to price your item for very rare items or very kind of less common items, let's say. An example for in my area is Halloween postcards. Halloween postcards, you know, sell for 60, 70, 80 bucks. I mean, you can go and higher, by the way, because they're a little bit more rare. So that one I might try to price, you know, twice to three times what I pay for it. And I offer incremental discounts. And when somebody comes in with a really low ball offer, mind you, I'm already making money. So very, very good example is today. I bought a card, a Halloween postcard for $17. I listed it for like 70 and somebody offered me 35 for it. And of course I make my money back. So I make my money back. Plus I make an additional 17 bucks. If you think about it, you know, minus fees and stuff like that. But so may I make $16 or $15, whatever. But the point is, and then of course I have the shipping price on that as well. So I'm making a lot more. So I'm willing to take that. So that one I might do three or four times, but the run of the mill 50 centers that I buy, you know, I'm only putting it on there for maybe 20 bucks. And then I'm taking 10 to 15 regularly. And so that's fine. Anytime I could turn 50 cents into $10 or $15, I mean, I could do that all day long. So the point is here is you want to run sales at all times on your store. So it gives you that little indication that you have a reduction in price. And so people will be naturally to gravitate towards that. Also, it gives them an anchor on what that price is. So, you know, they don't come in saying, okay, here's your $15 item that you just reduced to 14, for instance, as an example. And then they come in at a $2 offer. It doesn't happen very often for me. So, I mean, it does happen, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't happen very often. So that anchors the reduction in price and showing how it is on the screen. They look at it and say, hey, you know, they've already reduced the price, or maybe they reduced it a little bit more for me, but I'm not going to get it for a tenth of what they're asking for. Okay. So that kind of gets you to your item. Now, how do you keep that person, that buyer on your items? So what I've done is I've created a template using Fruition, and then you could do this with InkFrog, and then you could use it with other platforms as well. But Fruition creates this kind of template, which actually makes your store look like a traditional e-commerce store. So if you think about this, is when somebody says, I want to get a vintage postcard, pops yours, they click on yours, but let's say they don't like yours. What eBay will do is put other people's stuff that's kind of similar into that same search. And so they'll go directly to yours, and then they'll look at yours. They don't like it. So then they'll go to somebody else's directly from your page, which is unfortunate. So what Fruition does is that, and there's other software that does this too. So Fruition is not a sponsor for this program. InkFrog is not a sponsor for this program either. But what they can do is create a template so that all your items are showing at the same time. So they'll look at your item that they don't like, and then they'll say, oh, he has other ones, and then they'll go directly to that, as opposed to seeing the other people's items. Now, your other people's items are still there. They're just at the very bottom of the page, and somebody has to scroll through it to get to somebody else's items, which is great. So that's implemented. So every night I run the Fruition template, and it goes through all my listings, and then basically will take items of like and then post them on this template. So when somebody says they want to go to Vintage Postcard of Los Angeles, all your cards of Vintage Postcards of Los Angeles will show up with your initial listing, which is great. So the buyer comes to your listing, they don't like it. Oh, here's a bunch of other cards, and it's basically just like a regular e-commerce store. So it's kind of a stickiness that they're making. And I have noticed an uptick, and I can't really measure this, so I, you know, don't, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but I have seen an uptick in multiple purchases within my store. So it's anecdotal because I don't actually track this right now. I probably need to, and probably can go back and look to see how many repeat buyers. Now, I will tell you that I do get repeat buyers anyway because of another thing that I do, which is basically if I can get an email, I capture that email and then I put them on my list, and then I do email marketing to them as well. But also I put a card in each of my my sales that basically redirect them to my website, which of course is basically a screenshot of eBay. When I say screenshot, what it is it's a plugin that I use in Wix that will basically just skin my store and just stick it in my Wix site. Now, of course, I'm going to be probably going over to Shopify, and that's a completely different animal. I haven't done that yet, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. I've done it before, and I find it to be a little bit harder to do, but there are a lot more upsides to it. So I'm still kind of contemplating doing that. But I do actually use the Wix plugin that will now then basically it just skins my store, puts it on my website, and people can then shop my items again. And I have seen an uptick in repeat buyers because I recognize the names. And I've even had them say to me, oh, I bought stuff from you before. So that's just another way of keeping people as your customer. Another way to do it, and eBay has provided this thing, is a coded coupon. Now, I haven't done this yet. I tried doing it before, and I ran into trouble on how to do it. But it's just probably more user error than anything. But it's a new thing that they're making it a little easier for you. It's a coded coupon tools. And now you can go on eBay and to Seller Central, and you can go into the announcements, and there's a whole kind of spring seller update there that you can look at it and see kind of the particulars, but they have private coupons and public coupons. And there's a lot of moving with that, but the nice thing is that you could actually offer these things, by just putting a note in your already sales that you've made. And then you stick a note in there saying, well, if you want an additional 10% off, you know, here's the coupon to do that. And there's ways to kind of, to do that as part of your business process. And you should do that because once somebody gets in the habit of buying from you, that they will continue to buy from you. Now, this can work in any marketplace. It works particularly well, though, in the collectibles marketplace because, essentially if you have something that they like, likely is that you're going to have something else that they like. And they just weren't in the mood for buying at one point initially. So they're not going to buy everything. They're not going to go through your entire store and find things that they want and then just make a huge list and buy 20 or 30 or 50 items. I mean, maybe they will, but most likely they buy two or three items or even one item. And, you know, they need to be enticed to come back to buy more. So eBay has made it a little bit easier for you to do that. And I'm still kind of going through that right now, so I can't give you too much detail. Maybe we'll have a separate show on that one. The point here is that you want to use both online and offline tools to kind of to get people to come back and buy more. All right. So there's been a lot to chew on in this episode as far as ways to make your shoppers' experience more sticky. And that's really kind of what your goal is, to make people come back to you, make people find you in the first place as well. So use the online tools that eBay gives you and use the offline tools that I give you to actually make that happen. All right. Well, listen, that is the end of our show. Thank you very much for joining, and we will see you next week. Talk to you later. Bye.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.